Time for the update on the markets with Matt Graham, MBS Live. Appreciate you being here, Matt Graham. What you got for us this week?
An opportunity to take a little bit of a nap last week, and maybe this week too, depending on how things go.
Yeah, maybe.
We're in this environment where the bond market and rates tend to bounce between these two key reports, non-farm payrolls and CPI, Consumer Price Index. I've said that time and again over the past few months, and it continues to be the case where a majority of the momentum that's created by things on the calendar will come from those two reports, unless it's coming from the Fed announcement itself. And I would say that's arguably the case yet again right now. We had last CPI week before last, and that sent rates up and over some key technical levels in terms of treasury yields. But here is the point. When that CPI report happened, it pushed 10-year yields up to about 4.33%. And then in the ensuing days, we bounced on that ceiling at least five times, maybe six times, depending on where you want to draw the line exactly. And it was generally perfectly sideways ever since then. And there's no reason to think that's necessarily going to change in a major way until we get the next major piece of information, which would be non-farm payrolls on March 8th. There's volatility inside a narrow range. Some reports matter a little bit. We even had S&P Global's PMI index move the needle to some extent last Thursday, but it's just noise in the bigger picture, hardly detectable by the time you're looking at a longer term chart. So not much in terms of data last week. Multiple Fed speakers, they mostly reiterated things that have already been said, which is don't pay too much attention to 1 month of CPI. We think the inflation is generally doing the right thing and that this should end up being noise. Whether they're right or wrong remains to be seen. But that PMI data moved the market because the price tracking inside that report indeed suggested that inflationary pressures were their weakest since October 2020. So there's a case to be made. And I saw an interesting chart on somebody posted on Twitter/X, whatever you're supposed to call it these days, talking about the average CPI reading for the month of January. I don't know, because I didn't plug this into Excel and do verify this, but the chart seemed to suggest that January was a persistent outlier on the high side, which seems like something that would be corrected by seasonals. But in any event, if that's the case, then there is an argument to be made that January's inflation data, which is the stuff we got 2 weeks ago, is going to be an outlier in the bigger picture. But as always, we're data dependent, and we have to get the data before we know what's going to happen next. The unfortunate thing about the recent crop of data is it just delays the confirmation capability. And that's why the Fed is really, gearing down, slowing down, slowing its role when it comes to the rate cut conversation, because now the next inflation report that comes in, if it's just in line with expectations, that's one thing. Unless it is markedly weaker, markedly lower than expected, then it will now be that it just resets the decision time frame, and people say, okay, we got another good inflation report. Now we have to wait for a couple more before we can be totally sure. Whereas if the 2 week ago report came in weaker, then we would be very close to being able to confirm what the Fed is wanting to see and a rate cut cycle beginning soon. As far as what's coming up this week, there are a few more reports to sink our teeth into. There is PCE inflation, and that's an interesting conversation because PCE is often referred to as the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation, specifically year over year, core PCE. That's the thing they want to see at 2%. Unfortunately for that report, CPI, the other one, comes out 2 weeks earlier and gets most of the market's reaction. So unless PCE says something very different, it's not likely to get a ton of reaction in terms of bond trading. But the nice thing about this report is because CPI had a negative impact on bonds, I think there's a bit of an asymmetric risk opportunity for the bond market in the event PCE comes out stronger than expected, or I should say weaker technically, if inflation comes out lower than expected. And let's put things in concrete terms. Last time around, this report came out at 0.2 month over month. Market upped its expectations to 0.4 month over month after CPI did the same thing 2 weeks ago. If it were to come in at 0.3 or 0.2, now all of a sudden that report in and of itself could make CPI look like an outlier, and it could produce much more of a market reaction than it has in recent months, which is not really hard to do considering it hasn't produced much of a reaction at all. Other than that, we did already get new home sales this morning, close to expectations, 660,000 versus 680,000 forecast. And we'll get an update on home prices tomorrow. Just remember, those major indices come out with a lag. That's for the month of December. And with us, as always, MBA applications on Wednesday, GDP, Q4 GDP reading on Wednesday, as well as multiple Fed speakers. And then Thursday is when that PCE data comes out, along with jobless claims. One major report that comes out this week, one report that we'd consider in that upper echelon, would be ISM manufacturing. That's on Friday, March 1st. And we do not have non-farm payrolls on Friday, March 1st, even though it's the first Friday of the month, which is normally when we get that. That has to do with the length of time that the Bureau of Labor Statistics needs to compute all of the data they collect for that. And so oftentimes March, if the first Friday of March falls on the first, second, or third, it'll often be punted to the following Friday as far as the jobs report goes.
Very good. A lot of great information there. Any questions to start off with, Bill? Comments, questions?
I think that was great. And I think to simplify it for folks, right, stop sitting in the office watching MBS Live all the time and get out and talk to realtors, find borrowers, pre-qualify people, right? Go do your day job.
Go do your day job. But the nice part about MBSLive.net is you can take it with you on your iPad and your iPhone. So you're not losing. You're not having to sit there.
You're both missing the point. Yeah. The nice part is there's a whole suite of marketing tools. You can put your realtors' names on
there
and make marketing material with them on MBS Live. So
that's right. That's right.
Use it to your advantage.
So Matt, I'll revise my comment and say, stop focusing on the numbers in MBS Live and look at all the other great tools that it has there.
Yeah, don't be glued to the market right now. It's very easy to have your face too close to the monitor when in fact we're very sideways in the bigger picture right now and waiting for the next big shoe to drop, and it'll take months and months for that to happen.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Kittle, your thoughts?
What Mark Helms said again.
BS. Mark's quotable for this whole podcast. It's all BS.
It can be. Look, Bill is exactly right. And to his point, and what Matt says, take the positive out of it and go out and make sales calls.
Yeah.
Go out and visit people. You've got to do loans. You got to do business and get your head out of all the negative and get your head out of rates, because they are what they are.
They are what they are. Yeah. And then what we're going to be hearing from Alice about, the realtors need guidance and feedback on how to navigate what they're going through. So as well, yeah. Mark Helm, thoughts, questions for Matt?
I think I've already answered this question.
Yep, that's what
I heard those words on Netflix one time.
Yeah.
Very good. Alan, any questions, comments?
No, everything was well said so far.
Good. Good, good job. Matt Graham, I appreciate you so much for being here. You got so much great content on your website. I was up here early this morning. I was going to ask you, my only question was, is I saw some optimism seem to play out early on in the market as it was opening today. As we watched interest rates down at a going down, now it's reversed up. Any reason for the lower start and then with the rise today?
No, I wouldn't read too much into the initial drop. There's a little bit of strength in the overnight session, but it actually began to dry up before it opened in the U.S. So had this gradual linear selling trend all night. Europe didn't help. And now it's treasury auction anxiety really kicking in, because we have a condensed treasury auction cycle this week. Yeah.
Very big. Matt Graham, thanks for being here. I always love your report. Love your screens. Got them up all the time. Kittle's always giving me a bad time about the screens that are up behind me. But it is very effective. You do a great job. And I encourage people to sign up. MBSLive.net. You can use the LOL code and you'll get the extended trial period. But just sign up. So good. So affordable. And it's like he says, and there's some great marketing tools. Thank you for reminding us about that. I do get caught up from my aspect of it on just looking at the numbers. And I think you really raise a great point, is there's so many effective tools to help communicate out. And everyone say, yeah, I don't know what to say when I'm going to go out on the market here, or if I'm going to be doing some social media. Something we're going to be talking more about is this works very effectively on social media, the things that you do, where it helps people have content. It's all there. Great job.
Thanks, Dave.
Matt Graham, have a great week. Thanks for dialing in and being here with us.